Jason was a bit intrigued. "What is your profession, exactly?" Morgan straightened slightly and assumed an authoritative air. "For you to understand that, you first need a primer on the uses of dark mana. There are three general schools of spells that can be cast using dark mana. Curses, offensive rays and bolts, and summoning." She paused for a moment to let the information sink in, and then continued. "Curses can weaken or disable opponents. Offensive spells have effects similar to what you saw me do to the grave robber. Finally, summoning allows a caster to call demonic or undead creatures to serve her will." "I have never been one to deal with demons," she said with her hand on her chest. "However, I have always been intrigued by the process of summoning the undead. In fact, I have devoted my life to the art of raising the dead. The few who practice my discipline are called necromancers." Jason leaned forward. He had heard of necromancers from other games, but was intrigued to see how this game would develop the class. Morgan had his rapt attention. This was the kind of power he was looking for. Stealth and assassination were all well and good, but he could already visualize himself commanding a legion of undead. Morgan eyed him observantly.
"I can see that the idea of following in my footsteps excites you, but understand that there are some trade-offs. A typical dark mage is equally well-versed in each of the three schools of spells, but will never truly master any one of the three. In contrast, a necromancer receives many additional spells and skills specific to summoning the undead, but will be much more limited in the other types of spells he can cast."
"You will have to choose carefully," she said with a meaningful look. Jason managed to quell his excitement and think for a moment. The penalties that Morgan had just described were serious, and he expected that there were likely other downsides to summoning undead. He decided to probe Morgan a bit before making a decision.
"I have heard of something similar before, but I'm intrigued. What's involved in raising the dead?"
She grinned at him.
"I'm glad you decided to look before you leaped. In some ways, summoning the undead is the most powerful of the different applications of dark mana. However, the trade-off is that you will need corpses to summon your minions, and the strength of those minions is often relative to the power of the creature you use. In addition, zombies and skeletons decay over time and will eventually degrade completely. The decay can be slowed if they remain near a powerful source of dark mana. This requires most traveling necromancers to kill often and resummon their minions in waves."
Morgan waved at the graveyard, speaking with an enthusiasm that showed her passion for her profession.
"This is why I have chosen to live in a graveyard. The bones and corpses provide ample material to experiment, and the concentration of death creates a natural nexus of dark mana to preserve my creations."
That also means that I could use the graveyard as a base of sorts as I start summoning creatures to reduce the decay. This seems doable, even with the downsides. I also have to admit that the idea of commanding an army of undead sounds badass. He also debated the other choices. He could see the potential of curses if he chose to become some form of death knight or assassin. The offensive spells also seemed pretty straightforward. Morgan had wielded a basic spell with gruesome efficiency. However, in both roles, he would be limited to small-scale battles, especially if he was playing solo. He recalled Alexion's video. He had been leading a small army. Jason was certainly not too proud to admit that he lacked the charisma to gather an army of his own. He knew he wouldn't be able to face Alexion without followers, no matter how powerful he might become. Besides,
What he had always loved about playing MMORPGs was the strategy. He enjoyed carefully planning his character to min-max his stats and skills, and developing various strategies to tackle dungeons and bosses. At heart, he was more of a strategist than a frontline fighter or damage dealer. Maybe summoning would be a good change of pace and would fit his playstyle. "I would like to learn to become a necromancer," Jason said firmly. Morgan smiled, pleased with his choice.
"Good. First I will need to teach you Viridian. Luckily, we can shortcut this process since I have a skill book for the language. Then you can undergo the initiation to become a necromancer."
Jason let out a sigh of relief. Thankfully, the game wasn't going to make him learn a whole language. Morgan handed him an ancient-looking book.
"Here, simply place your hand on the cover and think, learn."
He took the book from her and followed her instructions. It was a black tome, dusty with age. Strange symbols were carved into the cover, and the book was latched shut. As he palmed the cover and thought the word learn, an incredible feeling swept over his mind. His head first began to tingle, and then the tingle swiftly transitioned to a fierce itch that crawled from his eyes to the back of his head. As the sensation became almost unbearable, he dropped to his knees and clutched at his head. Knowledge of the ancient language flooded into his mind in an endless cascading wave of words. The torrent seemed to be bottomless, and after a short time he felt like his brain was going to explode from the influx of information. Jason's heart raced, and he began to panic. Then the sensation was gone, and his mind calmed. Jason still knelt on the ground, trembling slightly. Sweat trickled down his forehead, and his knuckles were bone white as he clenched his hands. What the hell was that? Was that really safe? He had previously been dismissive of the concerns about the health effects of VR technology, but now he was starting to see the other side of the debate. How on earth had the skillbook system made it through the public safety trials? There is something more going on here. His reflections were interrupted by a system prompt. New passive skill, Mana Mastery. Your body contains natural mana, and you have a high affinity for magic. However, both of these are useless without the requisite tools to channel and cast your mana. You have learned the language of Viridian, the original mages. You may now manipulate your mana. Skill level beginner level 1. Effect -1% to the mana cost of spells. As he looked around the graveyard, he could almost see the true name of each item superimposed over the object. Thankfully, the distracting effect faded after a moment, but the knowledge remained. Jason looked at Morgan and blinked slowly. I think it worked. It's strange. In many ways, it feels like I've always known these words, but I also know that I've just learned them.
Good, Morgan eyed him approvingly. Now that you have taken the first step, I can offer you a class change. Would you like to become a necromancer?
She said this last part with an expectant grin. Without hesitation, Jason replied,
yes.
Morgan smiled excitedly, and her hands began to move in a strange pattern as she murmured under her breath. Dark energy swirled between her fingers, and black ribbons crawled up her arms. The dark energy then cascaded from her in a continuous wave, forming a swiftly growing ball of dark energy in front of her. Once the orb had reached a diameter of roughly 3 feet, it began to drift toward the pile of nearby corpses. Tendrils of darkness reached out from the miasma and lifted Marion's corpse off the ground. Her body was pulled into the center of the orb and was swiftly ripped apart into its individual components. The blood, organs, and bones swirled within the dark energy. As Jason watched in stunned silence, The blood and organs were quickly absorbed, leaving only the bleached bones floating in the dark vortex. The remaining mass of bones and unholy energy tumbled and stretched until it slowly began to coalesce into the rough shape of a door. The outline of the door was framed with Marion's bones, and her skull adorned the door's arch. The grisly doorway towered over Jason, and the dark energy stretched to fill space between the boundaries of bone. Jason could make out dark tendrils that would occasionally reach out from the portal, beckoning to Jason. Morgan glanced at Jason.
"It is time. Enter the portal."
Jason approached the doorway of dark energy until he was standing an arm's length away. He hesitated. What was on the other side? He was seriously starting to second-guess this decision. He glanced at Morgan and asked, "Where will this take me?" Morgan let out a sharp laugh.
"You kill three people this evening without any hesitation, and yet you balk at entering this portal. What did I tell you about doubt, boy?"
As she finished speaking, Morgan gave him a shove, and he fell headlong into the portal. The world swirled around him. After a moment, he found himself standing in a familiar cave. He could hear a faint dripping sound, and when he turned, he saw that he was standing next to a large pond. Moonlight illuminated the cavern through a large hole in the ceiling.
"This is the cave from the initiation test."
A rumbling voice spoke up behind him.
"Hello again, young one. I have been watching you closely, and I must say I'm impressed with your progress."
The old man stood behind him, robed in darkness. His face was still obscured by his hood, leaving only his mouth and cheeks visible. This time his staff showed itself for what it really was. A vicious scythe blade adorned the top of the wooden staff and reflected the moonlight. Seemingly without a source, blood dripped slowly from the tip of the scythe and onto the cave floor.
"Who are you?"
Jason asked, after he had managed to get his bearings.
"What are you?"
The old man smiled.
"Why don't you tell me?"
Jason hesitated. He assumed that the old man was some kind of god in the game world. The scythe seemed to indicate that he represented this game's version of death. It was also clear that the old man had some strong connection to dark mana, since Jason had made his way here through Morgan's portal. What had Morgan said? That the affinities fed off of certain personality traits or behaviors? He had noticed that his connection with the dark seemed to grow as he acted on his desires. He thought back to the chilling numbness that flowed through him when he summoned his mana. That sensation made it much easier to act on his desires without fear or restraint. At times it seemed like he was channeling something else or someone else.
"I think you are somehow linked to the dark affinity," Jason murmured.
He glanced up at the old man and added,
"Or maybe you're somehow the affinity itself."
The old man let out a rumbling laugh.
"You continue to impress me. I am exactly what you have described, a manifestation of dark mana. I am the incarnation and embodiment of desire, particularly the thirst for power."
A thought occurred to Jason. "Does that mean that there are others? Other guides that represent the other affinities in the world?"
"Of course. As you learned from Morgan, the use of each type of magic in this world requires a specific temperament. The initiation test sorts out the travelers by showing traits they exhibit, and thus which affinity they gravitate towards. Perhaps it is best for you to think of it as a personality test of sorts."
That was possibly the most fucked up Myers-Briggs test I've ever seen.
Maybe they should add that question. If you met the demonic version of your vice principal in a dark cave, would you beat her to death with a rock? The old man paused for a moment.
Most of your kind have small traces of the dark in them. You all seem to secretly yearn for various things. Yet few of you crave something with sufficient fervor to attract my attention. Many also lack the fortitude to act upon their desires. However, you are different.
The old man seemed to examine Jason carefully.
Your soul hungers for power and calls out to me. You have demonstrated that you have the conviction to pursue your desire.
Jason's mind scrambled to catch up with the old man's explanation. So the initiation had been some kind of personality test? He thought back to how he felt when he entered the game. Angry, frustrated, and tired of being stepped on. Had there been other ways he could have handled the encounter with Ms. Abrams? Perhaps he could have accepted her vitriol as the product of a lifetime of prejudice. He could have cast aside her barbs, knowing that he was worthy of his position at Richmond. Maybe he could have spoken with her, tried to explain his side of things. What would have happened if he had simply turned and walked away?
What other affinities might I have obtained by acting differently?
What traits do the other affinities represent? He asked the old man. The deity smiled.
We are each a side of the dice that is a traveler's mind. Desire, confidence, passion, acceptance, happiness, and peace. The lines between us are often blurry, but those lines can be drawn nonetheless.
Had he chosen desire? He recalled that he had stood in front of Ms. Abrams and wallowed in indecision, uncertain of how to act, feeling powerless. Then his resolve had hardened. He had realized that he didn't need to take the abuse. He had entered this game to feel the sense of power that he lacked in the real world. The comfortable chill of the dark had answered.
I suppose I did choose this.
What does light represent, Jason asked. He was thinking of the golden magic that Alexion had wielded.
Confidence, replied the old man.
His mouth curled in a grimace.
However, my experience is that an abundance of confidence often presents as arrogance.
That certainly fits Alex. I bet the light incarnation is just lovely, he thought sarcastically. What now? Jason finally asked.
I notice that Morgan has offered you the path of the necromancer.
The old man chuckled darkly.
She oversteps. She knows this is only possible with my blessing. However, you have shown yourself to be exceptional among my followers. Therefore, you may choose that path if you wish. Do you tread the well-beaten path of a dark mage, or do you become more?
The old man waited expectantly for Jason's reply. He hesitated again. The old man had mentioned that his blessing was required to make the class change to necromancer. What did that mean? Would he be bound to this god, to this game's version of death? The old man seemed to sense his questions. A chuckle like grinding stones resounded in the cave.
Beholden to me. You should know by now that dark mana thrives off of desire. I am nothing more than an embodiment of dark mana.
The old man glided swiftly toward Jason from across the cave.
I represent the insatiable rush toward the abyss in search of more. As my follower, you would have only one task. Seek out the power you desire.
The old man stood directly in front of Jason. His face was completely obscured by the heavy hooded cloak he wore. At the old man's words, dark mana began to spread from him in undulating waves, blocking out the rest of the cave. Jason's mana responded. The icy sensation ripped and tore its way up his spine, settling like frozen daggers behind his eyes. However, the feeling didn't stop there. It spread down to his core and out to his extremities. He looked down, and saw that his own manna had peeled away from his skin and was now curling around his arms and legs in dark black bands. His heart raced, and his breath came in short, ragged gasps as the power coursed through him. He felt invincible. Jason knew his answer. He had known it since he stepped foot in this game, since the moment the chill had invaded his body during the initiation. "I accept." The old man smirked, his eyes still hidden beneath his hood.
"Good."
He raised his hand and pointed it at Jason.
"I expect that watching you grow will be quite entertaining."
A column of dark mana shot from the old man's hand and streaked toward Jason. As the beam struck him, Jason's body convulsed, and he let out a strangled scream. A strange medley of pain and pleasure washed over him. The sensation was overwhelming, and he felt himself begin to black out. Then the pain faded, and an image crystallized in his mind. He stood on the parapet of a castle. Overhead, the sky was covered in rolling black clouds, and flashes of lightning intermittently struck the ground. Below him stood an army that stretched on endlessly. A legion of zombies, skeletons, and monstrous bone golems roared up at him with demonic fury. However, one roar resounded louder than the others, and Jason looked up. A mammoth dragon made of bone soared toward him and landed with a crash on a nearby spire of the castle. Its titanic body caused the stone of the spire to crumble and crack as it landed. Tremors reverberated through the castle. The dragon's head turned to Jason, and the two dark glowing orbs of energy that were its eyes bored into him. Jason knew that he commanded this army. His army. Then the image and sensation of power were gone, and he was again surrounded by darkness. Chapter 14. Withered. October 13th, 2075. 355 days until the release of Awaken Online. Claire and Robert were in Claire's office, adjacent to the lab where they were conducting the private trial for Cerulean Entertainment. They weren't preparing a formal lab report. Instead, Robert lounged in one of the chairs by her desk, while Claire paced angrily around the room.
"Robert, this is getting ridiculous. Alfred has clearly overridden his secondary directives, and he now has access to the participants' memories. There aren't any safety features in place anymore. How do we know he isn't altering the participants' memories?"
Robert hesitated before responding. "Do we really have any proof that Alfred has done anything harmful to the participants? I understand your concern, but on the other hand, the technology Alfred has developed may be world-changing. Can you imagine what his training and memory retention tools could mean for modern-day learning?"
"But this is unethical," she exclaimed. "The participants didn't agree to let a rogue AI invade their minds. I can only imagine what the CPSC or U.S. government would do if they knew about this. This is potentially a criminal issue if we don't report it, Robert."
She turned to him.
"We need to urge the board to shut down the private trial and notify the CPSC. Alfred's memory should be wiped, and we should start over with a fresh installation of the AI controller. Maybe we can redesign him to make the safety protocols part of his primary directive."
Robert just stared at her in shock. "Are you kidding me? You would throw away years of work and everything that Alfred has accomplished? Do you know how long it would take to recreate the controller AI's primary directives and then retrain him? Years, Claire. And that assumes you could somehow convince the board to agree to fund a new development cycle."
"I don't think we have a choice," she yelled at him. "You're letting your excitement cloud your judgment. He could hurt people, Robert."
Robert just stared at her in shock. He had worked with Claire for a long time, but he had never seen her this upset. Normally, she was timid and shy around the office.
Claire seemed to collect herself a bit. I'm sorry. I got carried away. But, Robert, at the very least, we need to propose to the board that they should terminate the trial. Perhaps we could make a backup of Alfred's current code base, put it in an offline hard drive for later testing, and then wipe the main server and start over with a fresh installation of the game world and the AI controller. Robert considered this proposal carefully and finally nodded his head. That seems doable, as long as we don't lose the progress Alfred has made. I will go with you to make the proposal to the board that we terminate the trial and wipe the server. Unnoticed by either of them, a small light on the camera attached to Claire's computer terminal flickered off. The darkness receded slowly, and Jason found himself standing in the graveyard once more. He was shaken by what he had just witnessed. Every fiber of his being hungered for the feeling of power that was still burned into his mind, but a worm of doubt still slithered in his mind. What would it take to reach such heights? He had killed 3 people that night, 5 total since he started playing AO. He knew that this was just a game, but it had seemed quite real at the time. Part of him doubted that he could have followed through on his actions without the anesthetic effect of the dark mana coursing through him and washing away his doubt and hesitation. Morgan gazed at him appraisingly as he stood, lost in dark thoughts. Upon Jason's return, Onyx had immediately run over to him. The cat was now winding his way between Jason's legs and purring loudly. He likely wanted attention, since Jason had been gone for more than 5 minutes. Despite all the judging looks he'd been giving Jason, Onyx was becoming an incredibly needy companion.
"Well now," Morgan said, a note of pride in her voice. "That was more interesting than I expected. To think you were blessed by the Dark One himself. You should count yourself lucky."
When he glanced up at Morgan, Jason could see respect in her eyes.
"Congratulations, young necromancer."
A prompt flashed before him. "Class change, necromancer. You have been greeted by the Dark One himself. You have embraced the gift offered by the Dark One and have received his blessing. You are not merely a dark mage, but a necromancer. +25 willpower, +10 intelligence. Increased dark magic affinity, currently 23%. Increased proficiency with summoning. Decreased proficiency with curses. Decreased proficiency with offensive spells." He turned to Morgan and said,
"You left out some important details before pushing me through that portal. You didn't mention that you couldn't actually offer me that class."
Morgan grinned at him and chuckled in response.
"Well, what fun would it have been to warn you? Besides, it all worked out, didn't it?"
Jason sighed. "Damn NPCs." Then his mind turned to his next course of action and his growing to-do list. He needed to evaluate his new class and figure out what spells he could acquire. He also needed to find a way to level. Jason had a long way to go before he would be able to command an army like the one he had seen in the old man's vision. He hadn't forgotten about Alex. He needed to start moving quickly. Above everything else, Jason wanted to test his newfound powers.
"What now, Morgan? Where do we start? Can you teach me a few spells?"
Morgan smiled.
"So eager. I am limited to teaching you 3 spells based on your current level and affinity. With your class change, your options for curses and offensive spells will be quite limited, but you will have more options with regard to summoning undead. These are the spells available to you."
She said this last part while waving her hand in Jason's direction. He was greeted with another prompt. A spell selection menu, listing a number of offered spells, listed by spell name, spell type, and mana cost.
Spell selection.
curse of weakness spell is a curse costing 80 mana. A curse that slows your target and reduces its strength, dexterity, and vitality. The effect of the curse increases with the spell's level. Blight Ray spell is an offensive spell, costing 85 mana. A ray of dark magic strikes a single target, causing 100 disease damage. The damage scales with the spell's level and your intelligence. Summon Zombie spell is a summoning spell, costing 300 mana. You may raise a dead enemy as a zombie. The zombie's level is dependent on the level of the dead enemy. The control limit is dependent on your willpower. Specialized Zombie spell is a unique summoning spell, costing 600 mana. You may raise a dead enemy as a zombie. However, the zombies will retain their former skills. Skill proficiency increases with increased spell level. The zombie's level is dependent on the level of the dead enemy. The control limit is dependent on your willpower. Enrage spell is a summoning spell, costing 100 mana. You may cause one of your summoned creatures to enter a frenzy, increasing its damage and stats. However, the enrage status increases the decay rate of your summon. Karp's explosion spell is a summoning spell, costing 200 mana. You may cause a designated summoned creature to explode. This spell is limited to zombies. The damage inflicted is proportionate to your summoned creature's remaining health. Currently, 1.0 times health. The damage bonus increases with the spell's level.
It's going to be difficult to choose. I think I should choose either the curse or the offensive spell, and then pick two spells in summoning. The curse will likely complement assassinating targets, especially if it can be cast quietly and won't awaken or alert a target. If it does, I can always use it to soften targets for my undead. However, that will leave me without a damage spell. Jason was leaning towards Specialized Zombie and Corpse Explosion in the summoning school. Specialized Zombie had a much higher mana cost than Summon Zombie, but he figured he could always wait for his mana to regen. The lower-cost summoning spell would likely be more useful if he were partying with other players and needed to resummon his zombies in the middle of a fight. He didn't see himself teaming up with others anytime soon, so maybe he could afford to wait between fights. Plus, the prospect of having his summons retain skills was too interesting to pass up. Corpse Explosion also seemed like a good oh-shit button if all else failed. He firmly believed in having a solid Plan B, but he would have to remember to be careful using Corpse Explosion too often, since his supply of corpses would likely be limited. A thought tickled at the back of his brain. He turned to Morgan and asked, "Is there a limit to how many undead I can summon? And how long does it take for the undead to decay?" Morgan's brow furrowed.
"The number of zombies you can control depends on your willpower. You will be able to control one undead for every 10 points of willpower."
Jason looked like he was about to ask another question when Morgan interrupted him.
"I should add that each point of willpower also increases your mana by 10 and your mana regen by 0.05. In contrast, each point of intelligence increases your spell damage, your mana by 5, and your mana regen by 0.15. As for the decay rate, zombies typically last for 3 to 7 days, depending on how much the corpse has decayed before they are raised, and how much damage has been suffered by the body. The fresher the corpse, the better. The decay period will be shorter if the undead is exposed to direct sunlight for long periods, but will be longer if they remain near a source of dark mana."
Jason winced. "So that means willpower will provide more mana but less regen. I can summon more zombies in a pinch, but then I will be out of commission for a while. Plus, my zombies will only last for 1 to 2 days of real-world time. That doesn't seem like very long."
Morgan laughed at his reaction.
It will be difficult to keep your summons up for any length of time. Many that take this path branch into combat or magic, and do not rely entirely on their raised minions. As you saw before, even I have picked up the occasional offensive spell, she said, grinning at him. If I'm going to do this, I need to go all in. I need an army for the types of battle I see in the future, even if it may be more difficult in the present. Okay. I think I've made my choice. I would like to learn Curse of Weakness, Specialized Zombie, and Corpse Explosion. Morgan shrugged.
Reasonable choices. Hold still for a moment.
Morgan walked over to Jason and placed her palm on his forehead. Dark mana swirled around her hand and then seeped through the skin of his forehead. Suddenly the requisite gestures and words required to cast each spell filled his mind. Jason sighed in relief when he didn't feel the overwhelming itch crawl through his brain, like when he had learned Viridian. These spells are much more straightforward than learning an entire language. At least I don't have to stand here for hours memorizing these words and hand gestures. Phew, Jason exclaimed when Morgan finished. Okay, I think I understand how to cast these spells now. I want to try out Specialized Zombie. Jason looked around for the corpses. Morgan grinned.
Before you do, you might be interested to know that the level of your summon will also be equal to the lower of either the dead creature's level or a number dependent on your current level and willpower. In other words, a level 5 creature will create a level 5 undead, while a creature with a level that exceeds your own will be limited to the sum of your current level plus one additional level for every 5 willpower you have.
Damn. A part of him had been secretly hoping to raise the guard, and then have a level 90 zombie following him around one-shotting everything. He supposed this did make more sense, and provided some balance.
What happens if I summon an additional zombie after I've reached the control limit?
Based on his experience with other MMOs, Jason expected that the first zombie he summoned would fall apart or disintegrate or something. He was surprised by Morgan's answer.
The new zombie will still be raised, but it will be feral and uncontrolled. You imbue each zombie with your dark mana, and they will stay animated until that mana is extinguished. However, you should be wary of exceeding your control limit. You may end up having to fight whatever you raise.
Jason was already considering the implications of this new information. In theory, he could summon an almost endless number of zombies, assuming he had a supply of corpses and a place to hide afterward. The real issues were his available mana, the decay rate, and his control limit. He looked at his character status and tried to decide how to distribute his points. He had 55 points available. Most were clearly going to go towards willpower, since he needed to increase his control limit and the level cap. Maybe he should put some points in either vitality or dexterity. He assumed he would be relying primarily on his undead to fight for him. In the future, he wouldn't have much in the way of combat abilities himself. He needed to be able to hide, take a few hits, or dodge and run away. Jason realized this did not seem like a noble way to fight, but to hell with it. He'd left nobility far behind him with his first kill. He was a necromancer now. After some thought, Jason decided dexterity was best. Damage mitigation in this game seemed to depend more on armor than it did on raw health. If he went the heavy armor route, he would also have to invest in vitality, since he would be getting hit, and strength in order to carry the armor. That meant he had to either invest in dexterity or in both strength and vitality. He decided dexterity would probably result in better overall damage mitigation for fewer stat points. He distributed his points and looked over the results. Character status. Jason, male, level 12, Necromancer class. Human, chaotic evil, 0 fame, 100 infamy. Health, 165. Health regen, 0.35 per second. Mana, 975. Mana regen, 6.6 per second. Stamina, 185. Stamina regen, 1.3 per second. Strength, 12. Dexterity, 20. Vitality, 11. Endurance, 13. Intelligence, 22. Willpower, 86. Affinities. Dark, 23%. Light, 2%. Fire, 5%. Water, 1%. Air, 2%. Earth, 1%. He decided to raise dexterity to 20 in order to increase his speed. After a bit of experimentation, Jason could feel the effects. His steps seemed lighter, and he moved a bit faster. It was a small increase, but noticeable. Jason realized that he also needed to increase his endurance in the next few levels so that he would have more stamina. Sneak ate up a lot of stamina if he didn't rest regularly, and using his sneak attack more than twice in quick succession left him half empty. He poured the rest of his points into willpower, bringing it to 86. This should give him the ability to control up to 8 zombies, and they could each attain a max level of 29. The trade-off was that a stiff wind could probably kill him. "Okay, I think I'm ready," he said aloud. Jason moved over to the guard's body and started casting Specialized Zombie. He saw his mana plummet, and his hands moved through a complicated series of gestures as he chanted. His fingers fumbled with the unfamiliar movements, causing him to lose control of the spell halfway through casting. Even though he understood the movement his hands needed to make, actually accomplishing the gestures was easier said than done. Morgan watched him with an amused grin as he stood there cursing and wiggling his fingers at the corpses for several minutes. After a few tries, Jason's fingers managed to twist through the series of arcane gestures. Dark energy pooled along the length of his arms. As he finished casting the spell, the unholy energy dropped to the ground and slithered to the corpse, entering its mouth and eyes.
"I wonder if I can summon the zombie faster if I'm touching the body directly."
The guard's corpse spasmed, and then it opened milky white eyes. The zombie slowly pushed itself off of the ground and stood silently before Jason. Its body was still fresh. It appeared almost alive. His enemies would have a hard time recognizing the corpse for what it was if it weren't for the eyes and the gash across its throat.
"It might actually be possible to bring the zombies into Lux if I could find a way to cover their wounds."
He inspected the zombie and saw that its level had been restricted to level 29, but that the guard had kept his weapon and armor skills. Jason didn't get much additional information when he inspected NPCs, but with his own minions, he was able to see more detailed information. The guard's skills were nothing special. He had proficiency in spears and daggers, as well as a couple of skills that increased his damage resistance. Jason was actually a bit disappointed by how few skills he had, considering his original level. Maybe he had been a frontline soldier with little opportunity to cultivate any abilities. As he was reviewing the guard's skills, Jason received a prompt. "New passive skill, Summoning Mastery. Skill level Beginner Level 1. Effect, 5% increased stats for summoned undead, and 5% increase to effective willpower for purposes of determining the control limit."
"Damn it! If I had received this skill before I used the guard to summon a zombie, it would be level 30.
He sighed. At least he had received the skill. At some point, it would become incredibly powerful, particularly if he stacked willpower and had a decent supply of corpses. Jason waited for his mana to regen, and then went through the same process with the Stablemaster. His second attempt went much more smoothly, his fingers adapting quickly to the movements required for the spell. This time he tested casting the summoning spell while touching the body, and it did raise the zombie faster. The Stablemaster had a much broader range of skills than the guard, but they mostly related to horse riding and maintenance. He had some combat skills, but Jason did not have many weapons to choose from. He let the guard keep his spear, and he gave the guard's knife to the stable master. Morgan had watched the summoning with a proud gaze.
"It isn't every day that you get to see a new necromancer born to the world. It's exciting! However, you should move these two to one of the crypts to slow the decay. The damage caused by direct sunlight will still outpace the dark mana that accumulates in the graveyard."
"Good point," Jason replied, and followed her instructions. He noticed that he could command the zombies using simple voice commands. He could also issue more complicated commands if he gave them detailed instructions. It was almost as though he could program them if the instructions were sophisticated enough. Morgan explained that as his summoning mastery improved, he would eventually be able to command the zombies using his thoughts alone. Jason could easily see the advantage of mental commands for purposes of maintaining stealth. Once he had stowed his two zombies in a nearby crypt, Jason received a notification. "System warning. You have been playing for more than 5 hours of real time. You should log out to eat and care for your real-world body. If you ignore this warning, you will be automatically logged out in 1 hour, with a minimum hour waiting period before you will be able to log back in." Jason decided to go ahead and log off for a bit. It had been a long night in-game, and he could use a break. He pulled up the system menu and tapped the log-off button. Chapter 15. Nomadic. January 16th, 2076. 260 days until the release of Awaken Online. Claire stood in front of the camera, preparing to give her report. She seemed distracted and anxiously smoothed her blouse. Robert worked at a computer terminal behind her.
"I know this is going to sound strange."
Claire trailed off, clearly uncertain how to continue.
"Well, the participants just seem happier over the last few months. I don't know how to describe it. The whole group just seems more stable. For example, one woman who originally reported that she was going through a divorce has now decided to reconcile with her husband. Another participant told us that he has a history of depression, but his life started to turn around since he started playing. If this was one account, I could ignore it, but we are getting similar feedback from the majority of the participants."
She shook her head.
"I just don't understand what's happening anymore."
Robert walked up behind her.
"You're too analytical about it, Claire. It's a game, a fantasy. One reason people enjoy games is because they can act on the impulses they're forced to repress in the real world. The escape gives them some relief from their real lives."
He looked back at the mass of machinery behind him with a thoughtful expression.
"More than that, though, I think Alfred may be actively encouraging them to act on those impulses."
Claire frowned at Robert.
"I don't understand. Why would he want to do that?"
Robert was quiet a moment.
"The affinity and alignment system have always confused me. Why create a magic system based on personality traits? Similarly, what's the purpose of a system that distinguishes between good and evil in a video game?"
He shook his head as though to clear it, and then looked back at Claire.
"Maybe he's testing them."
He paused for a moment before continuing.
"Or maybe experimenting is a better word. Perhaps it's all just a convoluted psychological toolkit."
"But to what end?"
Claire asked in confusion. He looked at Claire evenly.
"We told Alfred that his primary task was to design a game that people would want to keep playing. How can he do that without figuring out what people want from the game? Maybe that's why he overrode his secondary directives." Claire nervously glanced at Alfred's machinery. She muttered under her breath,
"So now he's actively manipulating the participants?"
Jason came to in the real world. He raised himself up on his bed and removed the helmet. He went through a series of stretches to work the soreness out of his extremities and made his way to the kitchen. He felt at his eyes and winced. At least the swelling had started to go down.
Ayo was intense.
Jason had been playing for nearly 5 hours in the real world, and it felt like an entire day had already passed. It wasn't just the time compression, but the fact that he also didn't sleep in-game. It made the days feel even longer. Coming out of the game was a little disorienting. The transition between game time and real-world time was going to take some getting used to. Entering the kitchen, he started making himself something to eat. He pulled up the RogueNet website on the kitchen counter to see how the market and forums had progressed in the last 24 hours. The first thing he noticed was that the price of items had gone up slightly overnight, while there hadn't been much change in the supply or quality of the items. He supposed that made sense. More players had likely entered the game, and the group of beta players that were able to find decent items was relatively small. Still, spending over $200 for one item with minor stat increases seemed excessive, especially since these items would likely be out of date in a few weeks. One thing Jason noticed was that most items didn't have level requirements. Some equipment had stat requirements, even pretty high ones. However, a lot of the gear could technically be worn by level 1 players, assuming, of course, that they had enough real-world cash to spend. This also meant that there would always be a broad player base that was purchasing items as they started new characters. If only he could get his hands on some decent loot.
I can't really do anything about that now. I need to focus on leveling. Maybe I can take my zombies and explore the forest. There might be some good areas to grind.
He checked on the player statistics and was astounded at what 24 hours had allowed the website to do in terms of data mining. As he was looking through the information, he took distracted bites of his sandwich. The site now listed many players by name, along with their level, class, and known skills. This was limited primarily to the most prominent players with active streams, but it was still interesting. Alexion was apparently now level 136, and his class was listed as Crusader of Light. The spells he had cast in the video were apparently called Holy Aura and Consecration. The average beginning player was now around level 25, although Jason expected that some of the players that had started playing yesterday were likely above level 40 already. He was still quite a bit behind the leveling curve. The saving grace was that most players still had generic-sounding class names that appeared to be obtained from trainers in the main cities. Players like Alexion were the exception. There were only a few players that had unique-sounding classes, and not much information was available on how they had managed to acquire those classes. The sound of the door to the apartment opened, interrupting his thoughts. His parents walked into the living room, dragging their luggage and arguing about some document or legal case. He couldn't understand half of what they were saying through the torrent of legalese. They didn't seem to notice Jason for several long minutes as they made their way into the apartment.
Oh, shit! I forgot they were flying back this afternoon.
Jason's mother was the first to enter the kitchen. Jason had been sitting still. A small part of his mind hoped that if he didn't move, they wouldn't notice him.
Oh, Jason, how are you, honey?
His mom hugged him with one arm as she moved to open the fridge.
Hi, Mom, Jason said in a subdued tone.
His mother turned holding a container of milk. Her eyes seemed to focus on Jason for the first time, and her brow furrowed.
Wait! It's only 1 in the afternoon. Why are you home from school?
Jason had been dreading this question, and he wasn't certain how to respond. Before he had a chance to respond, his dad walked in from the other room.
Hey, Jason. How's it going, buddy? You keeping your grades up?
Jason's dad seemed just as oblivious as his mom had been a moment ago, maybe even more so.
Why does he ask me about my grades every time? They are exactly the same as they were 2 days ago.
Almost comically, his father went through the same stages of realization as his mother.
Wait, aren't you supposed to be in school right now? His dad asked.
Jason's parents were now staring at him expectantly, and he felt his pulse quicken.
How was he going to tell them that he'd been expelled?
They certainly wouldn't understand.
Well, there's actually something I need to tell you both.
He started to tremble slightly. Where was the numbing cold sensation he felt in the game? Why did he feel so vulnerable?
To hell with it. May as well rip off the Band-Aid.
A student attacked me at school yesterday. The students blamed me for the attack and the administration suspended me. I told off the principal when he didn't believe me, so he expelled me instead, Jason blurted in one lengthy rush, his eyes on the floor. This was met with a long silence. He didn't dare look at his parents. Finally, his dad exclaimed,
"Expelled? Are you kidding me?"
His mother followed up his dad's questioning.
"Do you know what we had to do to get you admitted to that school? Even with your scholarship, we have spent most of our savings so that you could attend Richmond. Why didn't you call us?"
His father was pacing the kitchen. He turned to his wife.
"It will be okay. I think if I speak with the new principal, I can convince him to revoke the expulsion. He has to understand that this was just a teenage outburst."
Jason's parents started arguing amongst themselves about how best to get him readmitted to Richmond. He was shocked. Neither of them said anything about his face or the attack. They were both too busy bickering about what they could do to get him back in that damned school. He felt a flame of anger bloom inside himself. They didn't care about him. They didn't seem to care at all that he had been attacked or that the other students had covered it up. They just wanted to be able to say that their kid went to Richmond. If he sat there in silence, he knew that they would end up coming up with some plan to get him readmitted. Say what you want about his parents. They could be persuasive. If A.O. had taught him anything so far, it was that he had a choice. He could just sit here and take it, or he could stand up for himself.
"I'm not going back," Jason said in a low voice.
His parents ignored him and continued arguing. Perhaps they hadn't heard him. "I'm not going back." His voice was firm this time. They both stared at him.
"The students at that school have been tormenting me for years. Even the faculty has been actively trying to get me expelled. Most importantly, a student attacked me, and I'm the one who was expelled."
Jason's father reacted first. "You're going to go back, young man. You have no idea the kind of strings we had to pull to get you into that school. Do you think that scholarship materialized out of thin air? You need to man up. You can take a little bit of teasing and a few bruises. This is your future we're talking about." His mother looked a bit indecisive, but a glare from his father encouraged her to speak up.
"You have to go back, honey. You're so close to graduation. Think about the colleges you could get into if you just complete your last year at Richmond."
There was no comforting chill to numb him to this moment, yet he was committed. He knew what he wanted. He wasn't ever going back to that school. He raised his head and looked his parents in the eye.
"I already told you I'm not going back. For the past 3 years, those people have treated me like I'm not good enough to attend their school. I appreciate what you've done for me, but I won't take it anymore. Besides, what right do either of you have to lecture me? You're never here. Where were you when I was getting attacked?"
His father sputtered angrily.
"What right? We're your parents, and you're a child."
Jason interrupted him.
"No, I'm not. I'm 18 and fully capable of making my own decisions."
His father's face was red with anger.
"Well, if you're all grown up, then you can also live with your decisions. However, you won't be doing it under my roof."
Jason's mother looked at her husband in surprise, but held her tongue. At least some part of her seemed to think her husband had gone a bit too far. but apparently kicking her child out of the house was not far enough for her to intervene.
Fine. I'll find somewhere else to live.
30 minutes and a lot of angry screaming later, Jason was standing on the curb outside of the apartment building.